You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Joining us today on The Weekend is Dr. Sarah Friedwald. Dr. Friedwald is an assistant professor of radiology at Northwestern University, Feinberg School of Medicine, and she is a division chief of breast and women's imaging at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago. She is widely published in the field of women's imaging with a specific interest in digital breast tomosynthesis. Dr. Friedwald earned her medical degree from Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons. She completed her residency in diagnostic radiology at the Johns Hopkins Hospital and a fellowship in women's imaging at the Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania. She's also a member of the American College of Radiology Breast Imaging Commission. And so with all those great titles that she has, there are a lot of the education. We want to thank you so much. You're obviously very busy. Thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Thanks for having me.
So I talked a little bit about your background and your training, but tell us a little bit about, first of all, have you always wanted to be a doctor?
I have always been interested in science. I'm fascinated with the human body, and my father was an anesthesiologist. So I spent a lot of time in and around hospitals, and I really enjoy seeing patients, and I think that was the most compelling reason for me to go into medicine.
And as far as, you know, sometimes people have idea as we're growing up, I know that especially as a child, we want to be firemen, astronauts, cowboys, anything that we think is a lot of fun, and we change as we grow up. And so did you have a very close relationship with your father as well as education and the fact that, you know, you were interested in what he was doing and wanted to seek out more about science?
Absolutely. I spent several months rotating with him when I was in medical school, and I got to really see what he was able to offer patients and comfort them at a time of high anxiety. And that's part of the reason why I really chose to go into breast imaging, because we have patients who are extremely anxious about the possibility that they may have breast cancer, and we can help, and we can help detect breast cancer early, and most of the time, our patients do extremely well.
A lot of the times, and you mentioned the fact about, you know, make sure that we catch it early. For many years, the C word, the big C, has always been almost like a death sentence. And in some instances, I know we have that issue here on the border. Sometimes women, because of the culture or because of not wanting to know, no news is good news, they'll just hold off.
Unfortunately, that is not a great approach. As much as we don't want to think about it, the longer we wait, the less likely we will be able to do or have treatments that can save women's lives. So the earlier women can come in and get the mammogram and we can find the cancer, the more likely we'll be able to get them through the whole process and have them survive. So we really do encourage women to get out and screen every year beginning at age 40. We do also know that in the United States, we have a lot of work to do to get people compliant with this screening protocol. Only about 65% of the women who are eligible for screening mammography report that they've had a mammogram in the past 2 years. So we need to get the word out. We need to encourage women to come in, get their mammogram. And it sounds terrible, but actually, I think a lot of women feel it's not as bad as they think after the fact.
And why is it, Dr. Friedwald, that we're looking at that age 40?
Well, there have been 7 randomized controlled trials, which is really the gold standard in medicine, that have shown a significant improvement in survival in women who are screened. So there's approximately a 24% reduction in mortality. And therefore, if we start screening it at age 40, then we have the greatest likelihood of saving women's lives.
Now, as far as culture, we talked about that a little while ago, the fact that, you know, some women, it's almost like they don't want to talk about it. It's a big secret if you have breast cancer. And the fact that, again, it used to be a death sentence, but in some instances, women are taught that it's shameful. You shouldn't even talk about it. And because of that, sometimes it's the children who come home and say, "Mommy, we learned about this in school," or et cetera. And so finally, it's a good friend or a family member who encourages the person to go in there and get a mammogram.
Absolutely. And we're lucky in that we have public figures now also speaking out about their own personal experiences with breast cancer and the importance of getting mammograms. So we are look to the public figures to help us, but we also do a fair amount of outreach, as you mentioned, to even young people so that they can encourage their family members to get screened.
There has been, of course, as you mentioned, celebrities come out and they'll talk about the fact of how important it is. And it's great that we hear so many stories about breast cancer survivors. And this month, of course, is everybody wears pink or a little ribbon, something to signify that we're supporting breast cancer, but we're also supporting the survivors. And what a great time it is to celebrate that they're still with us. As far as getting that mammogram, tell us a little bit about what a woman needs to go through, what they need to do, because some of them, quite frankly, are scared. And they're saying, you know, it's not that I just don't want to hear about this, but I'm also afraid of the procedure.
Definitely mammography has been a test that a lot of women fear, but there is mild compression at the time of the examination. But as I mentioned before, most women tolerate it pretty well. It's a short exam, and usually patients will be done. The examination itself takes less than 5 minutes, but they usually will be in and out of the office in about an hour, and they'll get results hopefully in a few days and reassured that they do not have breast cancer. Most of the women who do come in for a mammogram don't have breast cancer. In fact, only 10% will have to come back for additional imaging. And at that point, only two will be recommended for a biopsy after that. So just because you're coming in and getting a mammogram does not mean that you have breast cancer. And even if you get called back for additional testing, it still is a very low likelihood that you will have malignancy.
What about the percentage, according to the statistics, mammograms, if you get a mammogram, it'll alert the doctors that something is wrong, and then it'll take care of the person going through the various procedures. But apparently the statistics show that mammograms have cut breast cancer deaths by, what is it? I think it's 40%?
Yes. So we definitely have seen a decline in breast cancer deaths since the mid-1980s when screening mammography became more widespread. We have improved treatments as well, but screening mammography really contributes a large part of that improvement in or decrease in breast cancer deaths. And all the medicines in the world won't be able to help if the breast cancer has spread or has gotten to be too large. So the key really is to detect breast cancer early.
As we've mentioned before, the fact that we see commercials, we read articles, and a lot of the times it's the warnings about this may cause cancer, this may cause cancer. So people are scared. And sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, I think when a woman is going or undergoing hormone therapy, sometimes they don't want to go through that because they'll say, I may be at a risk of getting cancer if I go through this hormone therapy.
True. There are concerns about any sort of hormones that patients would take after. But again, I think it's really important to emphasize that if we catch a malignancy early, then we can very likely cure people. So it's important that patients talk with their physicians. Every patient has a unique situation and other factors that may come into play when determining whether they should take hormones. But what I can say is that women really should be getting their mammograms.
We are visiting with Dr. Sarah Friedwald. Dr. Friedwald is an assistant professor of radiology at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine and division chief of breast and women's imaging at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago. Dr. Friedwald, can a person be overdiagnosed?
It's possible that there is some degree of overdiagnosis. And what does that mean? It just means that we have found a cancer in the breast that will not kill a patient. It's unfortunately impossible for us to know which cancers are going to be problematic and which ones are not. Therefore, we do recommend that, again, patients get screened and we determine whether they have breast cancer. And our focus really should be on which patients can possibly receive less rigorous treatment at that point. The solution is not to not look, but once we find things, how do we deal with it later on?
Tell us a little bit about, as far as the actual mammogram itself and women getting treated. As we know, everyone is different. Some women will tell you it's very painful. And again, things have changed, as you mentioned earlier, and there are different types of mammograms that you can have. What would you tell a patient who may tell you that?
We are always striving to improve the experience for patients because we certainly recognize that the better the experience is, the more likely patients will come back for their yearly examination. But we are able to handle patients who have a large breast size or small breast size. We do mammograms in men, so it doesn't mean that we can't do it. We certainly have techniques to be able to get as much tissue in the picture as possible so that we can detect breast cancer. You know, it may be that women get together with their friends and go together, so they have the support network when they go, and if they need to be called back for additional imaging, they have friends come with them. But it's a small inconvenience for the patient to potentially save their life.
Can we talk a little bit about the new 3D mammography? What is it? How does it work? And tell us a little bit about how it changes or different from the old way of doing it.
Sure. 3D mammography, also known as digital breast tomosynthesis, or DBT as we call it, was FDA approved in the United States in 2011. And it really is a better mammogram. We're able to find more cancers while at the same time calling fewer people back for additional unnecessary testing. So it's very exciting technology. It is available in all 50 states. And it's an opportunity for us to improve upon our older mammographic techniques. If patients don't know whether their breast center has a 3D mammogram, it's something they could certainly call and find out. But I would say that a 2D mammogram is better than no mammogram. So if they only have access to 2D mammography, that's still great. That's what all the randomized control trials have been based on. But if you have an opportunity to get a 3D mammogram, we would recommend it.
Some women, Dr. Friedwald, have fibroids or cysts, and that's something that, you know, it's recurring. How can they be sure or not be alarmed as far as them having the fibroids or cysts?
Certainly, if a patient feels a lump, which is often how a fibroadenoma or a cyst would present in a patient, definitely we want them to come in and have them evaluated by mammography and ultrasound. We can reassure patients if it has the typical imaging appearance of those abnormalities, either to not have to come back in 6 months, or if we think it may be a small growth that we think is benign, they may have to come back in 6 months just to ensure that it's stable in size. But these are very common abnormalities that we detect in the breast. And we don't want people just to assume that if they've had cysts in the past and they feel lumps in the past, that they don't need to come in when they feel a new one. We want to make sure that patients do definitely come in if they feel a new lump.
We are visiting with Dr. Sarah Friedwald. Dr. Friedwald is an assistant professor of radiology at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine and division chief of breast and women's imaging at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago. Dr. Friedwald, what about if a woman nurses or nursed their child when they were babies, are they at any risk? Because there have been some myths, speculation that if you breastfeed, you may be at risk for cancer.
Breastfeeding helps decrease the risk of developing breast cancer, so definitely breastfeeding is something we encourage. There has been some concern that maybe because of patients, if they get a mammogram during the time that they're lactating or breastfeeding, we may not be able to find a cancer as easily. We typically encourage women to get screened 3 months after they finish breastfeeding so that we can get the clearest picture of their breasts. But certainly in the meantime, if a patient develops a symptom or a lump that's abnormal for them, we want them to come in and get imaged anyway, and we will look and see if we can figure out what the problem is.
What about markers, Dr. Friedwald? If a woman has that marker or those markers because of their grandmother or great-grandmother or even mother, is that something that they should be aware of?
Certainly, I think you're referring to the genes associated
yes,
with breast cancer. Typically, the breast cancer, the BRCA or BRCA genes, there are other gene mutations also that are associated with breast cancer, or if a woman's had radiation to the chest at a young age, certainly can confer a high risk of breast cancer. So in these patients, most of the guidelines really are talking about average-risk women. In the high-risk patient for breast cancer, we recommend, if there's a greater than a 20% lifetime risk of developing breast cancer, annual screening MRIs. But that's a small percentage of patients. If a patient finds out they do have a mutation, they certainly should talk to a provider, either a surgeon, oncologist, genetic counselor, or geneticist that might be able to recommend alternative screening strategies and possibly risk reduction medications.
If there are conflicting screening or there is conflicting screening when a woman goes in and gets her mammograms, because of what we're seeing right now as far as healthcare, insurance programs, etc., is this a problem for women because some of them may not want to go out and get a specific screening or mammogram because of it not being covered by insurance?
This is a very, very important point, and we encourage that women advocate making sure that mammography is continually covered going forward. Right now, Congress has required insurance companies to cover women screening every year beginning at age 40, but that is always subject to change. So we want to make sure that the efforts continue on and people in Washington recognize the need and how we can provide access to all women, not just women who can afford it.
And during this month, as we mentioned, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so there are times here when there are a lot of educational programs available, health fairs, and even some mammograms. And this is, I guess, would be a perfect opportunity for women to encourage one another. And if someone has never had one before, because a lot of times these are offered either free or at low cost, and this is, as you mentioned, not everybody can afford it, and it shouldn't be because of that. During this month, we see a lot of opportunities like this. Do you recommend a certain web page or website that women can go to find out about various programs?
Yes, if women would like more information really on any of the breast imaging or any of the topics that we discussed today, patients can go to mammographysaveslives.org. Again, that's mammographysaveslives.org. And there's a lot of information there on mammography, dense breasts, breast cancer screening, et cetera.
We're visiting with Dr. Sarah Friedwald. Dr. Friedwald is an assistant professor of radiology at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine and division chief of breast and women's imaging at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago. Dr. Friedwald, tell us a little bit about women who either have to undergo some kind of surgery, whether it be complete mastectomy, double mastectomy, or part, or sometimes because those lymph nodes are removed, there may be a concern there for lymphedema or the fact that the cancer may spread somewhere else.
So really, there are high-profile women, Angelina Jolie being one of them, that have promoted the double mastectomy or bilateral mastectomy. But those procedures are really reserved for women who have those gene mutations, the BRCA mutations, that really would help because these are women that really have a high risk of developing breast cancer. For all the other procedures, the conversation really should be between the patient and their surgeon as to which would provide the greatest benefit. So patients may be fall into the criteria for a lumpectomy, which is just removal of that tissue. But again, that's a conversation with the surgeon after the diagnosis of breast cancer to determine whether there would be a good cosmetic outcome. So most of the time it is a individual discussion and really can't be applied to large populations of women for a definitive statement.
What is lymphedema?
Lymphedema is just when there's a disruption of the lymph nodes in the armpit area that can cause a disruption of the channels of the lymph tissue in the body, and there can be significant swelling after surgery. But there are definitely benefits to having the determination of what the lymph nodes are in the armpit. So again, it's a discussion with a surgeon as to what's most appropriate for patients.
A lot of times, and of course, it's part of the individual. It's part of that person. And when a woman has a mastectomy, whether it be a single or double mastectomy, it affects her, and it affects her as far as psychologically. And wants to know, okay, is my husband, is my boyfriend, are my children going to accept me the way they are? And unfortunately, that's something that we have to deal with now in the United States. But at the same time, as you mentioned, there are a lot of women coming out, celebrities who come out and say, it's okay. And there have been several commercials, documentaries made on the fact that just because you don't have breasts does not make you not a woman. And the fact that there's a lot of support groups out there, it's not just anymore where it used to be, I lost my hair, so I'm going to get a wig. It's a lot more personal for this, and that's why it's important. I would imagine that you have support groups and you talk to some of your patients and also family members.
Certainly, and again, we are very lucky that people have been coming forward and discussing their struggles and their success stories with breast cancer. We definitely have the support system. There's a lot of publicity in the media about what patients and the resources patients can have for after diagnosis and their survival plans. It's exciting to think that we have all these needs for survivors, because we have so many survivors, and it's no longer the horrible scarring as it used to be when we really didn't have the plastic surgery and the options that we do today. So now patients really can come back to living a very normal life and feel very much like a woman and have the support around them.
Speaking of support, a lot of times the husband, the father, whoever, is deeply affected, but in a lot of times in our culture, in our society, we've been taught, men are supposed to be strong, you can't show any emotion. And so tell us a little bit about, what you may tell that spouse, that husband, that partner, whoever, how they can help out and support, get support, not just for their spouse, but for them.
We would definitely encourage any family member to come and talk with us as breast imagers or the patients, anyone on their healthcare team, because I think knowing about what's going on is the greatest support. The unknown is what's really scary. So we certainly want to include any family member in the discussion and help make the individual treatment plans and future screening plans as a group and have everybody involved.
Dr. Friedwald, one of the things that was brought up to me 5 years ago when I was at MD Anderson, one of the surgeons there, she told me, you have to realize that this is major surgery, and it's not just surgery to remove cancer or a tumor. This is an amputation, and it needs to be treated like that.
That's an intense conversation.
Yeah.
As a breast imager, I'm on really the diagnostic side, not really on the treatment side. But we have such great plastic surgery options now that I don't think women should think of it as an amputation. It is really a modification, and it's all about survival. And we are here to help women and have them live longer and really be a full participant in their community. So we really don't want to scare people. We've got great success stories, and we want to get people out there and screening so that we have to do as minimal amount of intervention as possible.
If for some reason a second opinion is needed in an instance, is this something that is the medical community still struggling with that as far as getting coverage from insurance programs?
We, at least at Northwestern, provide a lot of second opinions. We get a lot of people who either have been diagnosed at an outside institution and we review their films and help the surgeon with the treatment planning, or just patients that may have been called back and aren't sure about whether they need to move along the clinical pathway. We are happy to do second opinions. If patients would like to have just some reassurance that they are going down the right pathway, I think most of the physicians with whom I work have no issue doing that, and we want patients to be comfortable with the decisions that are being thrown at them.
Does diet have a big say or a part in what we're talking about here as far as we mentioned earlier, there are a lot of commercials, ads that say this may cause cancer, this may cause cancer, but it seems that nutrition has entered this picture as well, where it's not just about preventive, but afterwards you have to be sure what you do and what you don't eat.
It's very hard to know or pinpoint exactly what's helpful, where it's not. It seems as if you try to eat some foods, it's good for one area of the body but bad for another. And so I think it can be very confusing and challenging for women to figure out what the best pathway or what foods to eat for their overall health. I think in general, just having a healthy lifestyle and exercising is always important. It's something we always encourage. But I also want to caution people that just because they eat well and they do have a healthy diet does not mean that they won't get breast cancer. I hear that all the time. Patients will say, how could I have breast cancer? I've been getting my mammogram every year. I've been eating well. I exercise. Those are all good things, and we want to encourage all of that. But that does not mean you won't get breast cancer.
Is this something, as far as examination, for many years there were tips on how to do a self-exam, what to look for in the shower, what you need to do when you're examining yourself. Is this something that you still promote?
The American Cancer Society came out recently with their updated guidelines that suggested that the self-exam has been problematic because it generates a lot of false positives. So that is no longer encouraged for self-breast exam. My belief is that it's important to know what your breasts feel like, and so that if you detect a change, then you'll be able to call it to your doctor's attention. I think general breast awareness is important, and so that's what I encourage.
Dr. Friedwald, we want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. We've been visiting with Dr. Sarah Friedwald. Dr. Friedwald is an assistant professor of radiology at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine, and she's the division chief of breast and women's imaging at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago. Dr. Friedwald, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTUP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Jesse Munoz. Our producer is Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Luis Sainz.